Lovely hands that freed up Charlie, who should goal, and does.
Crashing through as Butters, sliced through them, and Gray kicks his third.
This is the SEN Breakfast Footy Review with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
I look forward to it every single Monday morning. I see him wander down in his all-black outfit with his black shorts and his runners, having gone for a trot of about 48K over the weekend. Kane Corns in the studio to talk footy. Welcome, Kano.
Good morning, guys. Another interesting weekend of football, and I was at the Carlton game and watched them really closely, and I think they're probably, for me, the story out of it, if we're going to start there, which I would like to. They were so disappointed.
Did you tip them?
I did.
You tipped Carlton to be on. Okay, so let's rewind then, because you're a good, smart footy man. Why did you tip Carlton?
So the only one I got wrong over the weekend, I got eight. I got the Giants.
I got
Fremantle, Gaz. I got eight out of nine. Bloody Carlton let me down of all clubs. So I picked them. And then I heard David Teague on your show, and I heard the quote, and this isn't a hindsight thing because I made comment of it captain's run on Friday. But can we just rewind and have a listen to David Teague on your show? I think it was on Thursday.
To win two and to stay and play probably one of the premiership fancies is exactly what we're looking forward to. And look, we may not get the result. We'll go out there, and what we need to do is play the way we want to play, bring the right intent and see where we're at. And we feel if we do play our way and play with that intent and conviction that we will win the game. So that's our challenge.
Well, they didn't either. So we may not win the game. No, well, you didn't win the game, but it's the way we go about it. Well, you didn't do that either. Give me something for David Teague is what I've said. And Gary, I know you were passionate about Carlton and put the test to them and challenged them on your show on Friday. I just don't see anything from this football club that gives me any pride in their performance.
Do you think, I think they've improved. I think they've improved from last year. Okay. If you look at those results against Richmond and Port Adelaide, okay, they're a 4 or 5 goal off the pace with, and I think we all believe that they're the best credentialed side in the competition now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, though, are they building enough to get from where they have been to that next rung so that they can actually start to challenge for a flag? I don't think they're going to be challenging for a flag. I think they're improving, but I just don't know whether or not they're going to have enough improvement to actually be an elite team in the competition.
So there's key areas of the game that you need to stand up. I think they're okay around the midfield. I think they're competitive in there. They win enough fair share of their footy. Defensively, they are so shaky and so flaky. And I think this is a personnel issue. Like, I can trust Wiedering. Who else can you trust in that back line, personnel-wise? I can't trust Jones yet. 6 possessions, coming off a good fortnight, was completely ineffective. I can't trust Dow. I can't Petrovsky-Seaton. And then
Doherty?
Doherty? Probably, but he's not. Hasn't been in great form. He has looked a bit shaky.
He had a very, very nervous game.
Yeah.
And I saw he got someone gave him the second best player for Carlton on the weekend, which
I didn't see it.
Choked.
And then forward of the ball, like their delivery was the thing that, and looked at that their delivery going forward was the difference between the two sides. So I just think there's key parts of their game that are breaking down.
They can't transition the footy.
Repeatedly.
They can't go from one end of the ground to the other. And
okay, so
when you looked at the numbers and you go, okay, there's the problem. Then you look, I did the game as well. At the game. And then you watch the game. They continually get stopped halfway. So that puts pressure back on the defence, which is what Kane's talking about.
Are they playing the right game then that suits their personnel?
Well, they'd love to play most successful sides, and Port Adelaide struggled with this early in the year. They're a front half team. When you talk about that, is that the ball gets in there, doesn't come out. Mm. Melbourne have adopted that, which is why they're having some success at the moment. Port Adelaide didn't have that going for them. They got it back against Richmond and won. And so they would love to be, I think, that sort of side because it takes pressure off your defence and you're able to set up and you can, you know, lock the ball in, all those things. But they're not because they've got Eddie Betts there who's, you know, 33, 34 years of age. They've got Mark Murphy in there who's not a great defensive animal. And then they've got tools in McGovern and Casbolt that don't put defence on, you know, pressure on in their forward 50. So all those things contribute. Mind you, Eddie Betts, this is my argument with them, Kane, and my criticism. There's no sizzle. There's no creative flair. The only time they looked super likely to score was when Eddie had the footy there for 5 or 10 minutes in the third quarter.
Levi Casbolt was their most dangerous forward for me, and that's saying a little bit. But, Gaz, for you, so you get the point on David Teague, I hear that, and I'm so uninspired by that. I hear you know, the really strong coaches demand a performance and demand an effort. And then I hear post-game, oh, we won the inside 50s. Yeah. We were even in the clearances.
So what you're talking
behind
about...
Behind the scenes, yeah, is he giving it to them like he needs to? Because I'm a Carlton fan and I hear all this positivity coming out on another performance and another year that looks like a failure. I'm a bit flat about it.
Are you saying that the players aren't being held accountable for their performance? No, but what would you think?
But what? Okay, so there's the public messaging and the private.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah,
well, they can be different.
You'd hope they are. Yeah. That's the question. We don't know how hard he's driving this group privately. Like, how hard he's demanding. And yeah, that messaging that he gave us on Saturday, you know, I hear it as well. But I didn't get as up in arms because... You're saying that from if you're a supporter, you're listening to it and you go, hang on, and I get that.
Gives you an out, yeah. I think. We may not win.
As long as it's not, it does for the, that's how your ears are. But from a playing point of view, if he's driving standards as hard as you hope he is through the year, then they're not thinking that's an out.
Okay, we don't know whether or not he does that behind the scenes, okay, because we're not privy to that. What we do know, though, is how they play. And to your point, Gary, the transition part of their game.
They don't kick it well enough.
Okay, so... They went and recruited Saad and they went and recruited Williams. Do they now need to play Williams as part of their back six and fix up that part of their game?
Perhaps. Saad looked like he was hobbled. He played on at one stage Hamish Hartlett and the two of them couldn't get out of their own way. So he looked hurt to me, Saad.
He has an interesting gait.
He's strapped up like Farlappy, like Paleface Adios at one stage with his knee. So I'm not sure. But anyway, well, we move on from Carlton because in the end, Port Adelaide were really good. Port Adelaide were down Houston, I think, with their best kick inside 50. Then Hartley gets this corker. He can't run. Alir was, I described him as Rance-like during the game. He was superb in that back half. They got, as I said, this four-line going. Travis Boak gave you a lesson. We talk about taggers a lot with you. He gave you a lesson in how to handle a tag. Ed Curnow goes to him. He's got him, you know, reasonably under control in the first 20 minutes because we know how dedicated Ed is and how aerobic. By the end of it, Travis had just run him into the ground and had 30 plus.
29, I think. Yeah, so he went to Cripps for a bit and tried to disrupt and break the tag. And
Curnow
dropped it. So he's a phenomenal player and a great leader. But, yeah, Port Adelaide are solid. I agree with you. I think Alir right now after round five is the Australian centre halfback.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. And
Have we ever got to the bottom as to why Sydney rarely allow anything to leave their football club? In fact, any time anyone leaves Sydney, it is like a sensational story. Like because nobody ever wants to leave there. They don't ever want to usher anyone that they really love or want to keep out the door either. They never allow them to go. You know, you have to go back through history to, you know, not even recent history with Papley that they didn't want him to go either. What is it about him that they didn't necessarily like or want to keep?
I don't know if we've ever got to buy. Ollie Wines was asked about it on ground after the game and he said, I can't believe Sydney gave him up so cheaply. And they got him. It would be a bigger story if Sydney were struggling, wouldn't it? Like if Sydney were really struggling, we'd be talking about this a lot, but they're going okay.
Tom McCartan, I think, in the end, sort of half cushioned the blow. So McCartan goes back in that last 4 weeks and looks like a ready-made centre-half back. But we'll try and we'll ask the boys then to look up if there's any storylines on it. If you're Melbourne. So Melbourne are sitting on top, you know, played who they've played. You can only beat who you played. They've got a great test coming up this Saturday night against Richmond. I watched a bit of the VFL yesterday. Sam Wiedemann kicks 7. Ben Brown kicks 3. They kick 8 goals in the last quarter. Bailey Fritch maybe come back. Well, Fritch comes back if he's fit enough to play. What do they do at selection?
You watch them closer than any of us.
Yes.
What do they do, Gaz? So I'm going to put it back on you.
Yeah, okay. I'm not convinced I play either of...
None.
Wiedemann would be the one ahead of Brown. You just let Brown play. The basis of this Melbourne, they've got a lot there. Max Gorn yesterday was... I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Their forward line pressure has been as much a trademark of what they've done this year.
They've found a balance, haven't they?
Yeah. They've been manic. So if you all of a sudden mess with that, which you would if you brought both in, obviously. So I think Wiedemann for Brown, Mitch Brown, would be probably the only. But then you've got May and you've got Fritch that might play. So
what's the rush to bring Ben Brown into the team anyway?
No, I don't think there is.
There shouldn't be a rush to bring Brown. In fact, there shouldn't be a rush to bring Wiedemann back into the side. They have to break the door down and force their way back into the team.
Seven's given it a good kick.
Yeah, that's right. But they have to. That's exactly what they have to do.
Yeah,
there's no right. you don't get a free pass into a AFL.
I don't
team.
Think Ben Brown would be considered. I don't think he's. I think no. that's outside noise. You know, which is a good storyline. Ruckman don't play one-on-one, haven't for a long time. Ben McAvoy got the mother of all hiding yesterday. Mm. And this is how far footy's got. He had a period where he took two really good marks, and I thought, good, he's going to take this challenge on against Max Gawn. Max Gawn was as dominant a ruckman performance yesterday as you could hope to see.
Well, there's three standout rucks, but he's just elevated himself to one by a fair way. When you watch Grundy and Nat Newey, so they're the three, and Gawn, what he does all over the ground. And I think because he has prepared himself so well physically and his aerobic ability sets him apart from the rest. And he just look at him and the way that he's prepared. Compare him to the work that influences with Nat Newey around the ground. Number one ruck in the game by a mile, and what a captain he's turning out to be.
I reckon the other part to all this too is the fact that you can put Luke Jackson into the ruck confidently as a backup, which gives you the option to play Gawn at different times where you think the matchup best suits you, because you don't lose a lot with Luke Jackson jumping at the ball.
That's the perfect model for me, a young ruckman with an experienced ruckman, and we've saw what it's done for English with Stephen Martin coming in. That is ideal. If you can have Jackson develop under Gawn with not the responsibility of going in the centre bounce, you know, 15 times a game.
Lever was terrific. Magnificent. I thought yesterday, in the absence of May, and Christian Salen continues to put a career together. And Clayton Oliver, who people think, you know, that his consistency as a footballer from the time he played AFL football to now is almost unsurpassed. I'm talking about output. He's not the
effort
best,
you're talking
yeah,
about.
He's not the best player every week. He tries as hard as anyone I've seen in recent times.
He plays hard every week.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've given him enough credit. Clayton Oliver, I might have to go and look at that. I think that's a very good point. Their opposition, Hawthorn, we spoke about it last week. Two players, Gaz, under the age of 21 or 21 and younger. That was Moore and Jaff. They are 17th with a percentage of 77. 21-year-olds for other teams over the weekend. Frio 6, Adelaide 7, Sydney 8, North Melbourne 8. If you are 17th with a percentage of 77%, you need to be playing more kids.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting from now, because I think coaching kept them in that contest yesterday. The way the Alistair Clarkson coach kept it, he was trying to win 10 goals to 8, and it just broke in the end. So you're right, and that's what Hawthorn are going to have some pain. Their coaching will make it not look as bad as what it perhaps is.
It almost does them more harm, though, because they're in it, and you think, oh, here we go. We're not that far away.
As long as
they
don't
have the kids. Well, I hope you've got to have the kids to play, though,
don't
you?
I know, Tim, but that's
and we know that they embarked upon a different way of going through a rebuild over a period of time and just sort of hanging in there.
So get rid of that now. I think so. That model has to go now. Let's go to the Adelaide, the Fremantle, the Sydney model of just getting as many draft picks as we can for a 3-year period and rebuild this footy.
That's
club.
A slower build, isn't it? That is a slower build.
Yeah, the D's are going okay. There haven't been anyone. Hawthorn's an ordinary outfit. Pete from Narre Warren. Thank you, Pete, for stating the obvious. This is the conversation starter for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV, introducing the all-new Kia Carnival GUV with an SUV-inspired design and spacious seating for all 8 passengers. Hardball gets they were. We're going to get through a heap of loose ball gets after the break.
This is the SEN Breakfast Footy Review with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
All right, Kane Corns here, loose ball gets. Let's whip around the Western Bulldogs. Are they the premiership favourite right now?
Yes, they are.
Are they?
Yes.
Premiership favourite over Richmond?
Well, they're playing the best football right now, and their midfield is just what they are doing. They're off the chart numbers, the midfield. I'm not sure we've seen numbers collectively in the midfield like we've seen at the Western Bulldogs, so... Maybe defensively, we'll wait and see personnel-wise, but right now, they have to be. They're the hottest team in it.
Can Lawrence Shackey force his way into that side? Gary, he's been playing particularly well at VFL level.
Ahead of Jamara Ugle-Hagan?
He's not playing so well at the moment. He's not setting the world on fire, but Lawrence Shackey is.
I think someone would need to be injured.
Josh Shackey.
Lawrence with his father.
Yeah.
Who's passed away. So... No, it's good to see. What they might be able to fatten him up a bit,
yeah,
and entice and attract some attention from elsewhere.
Possibly, yeah. Gaz, does Darcy Moore start forward or back on Anzac Day?
Yeah, we don't normally talk about it, do we, for Friday night games, but we need to because I love what Collingwood did. I really did.
So do I, actually.
Everyone was sort of screaming at him, and I thought, well, Bucks just be a bit pig-headed and go nut, nut, nut. Well, there's genuine excitement when Darcy Moore went forward. I've heard some of the commentariat suggest that he can't play forward. That is just a nonsense. He kicked 5 goals in his first year. When his body wasn't right, he was sort of in and out of footy and he didn't have this run at it. So he can play forward. They look great. When Brody Grundy pushed forward at the same time, then I thought that's what we're screaming out for from Collingwood, something different. Mm. And they look great. Then they got injuries and the West Coast got going.
Do they just wear it then now, Kane, that they're going through a mini rebuild Collingwood before our eyes and they keep playing Keane back in defence, maybe Madgen as a...
Cameron. Keep playing him. He looks good, and that does allow you the flexibility to put Grundy forward.
Will Kelly will come back, I think, in the next couple of weeks, and he's a really talented kid. He could play back.
They're playing a lot of 28-year-olds, so they need to work out which ones they think are going to be there in 3 years' time and when their next premiership is coming from. But at the moment, Bucks just has to do his best to remain competitive on a big stage with injuries he's got.
To both of you too. West Coast play a different style of footy to nearly anyone else in the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that going to hold them in? It delivered a premiership once. They've stuck to it slavishly, which is credit to them. But is it going to hold them in good stead? This is an example. Richmond had a plus 500 metres forward handball. Handball forward, 500 metres. At one stage on Friday night, the West Coast Eagles were negative 200. Mm. So they go back. They go back. They go back. Richmond go forward, forward, forward. Which one would you prefer?
Well, if you do it better than anybody else, then you're still capable of being successful doing it.
Does it stand up in finals, though? If you keep handballing back and then this pressure keeps coming like we see in finals, is it going to hold up?
Well, that's only at one part of the ground, though, isn't it?
Well, they're a backward handball team.
Yeah, they go backwards. But when they get the ball from the midfield get the ball into their forward line quickly, they're as potent as anyone in the competition.
Which is a great dilemma.
That's right. They're going to back themselves to do what they do well. I thought Gaff going into the midfield, inside the midfield. We normally see him play out in the wing, but what he did on Friday night and the fact that I think Redden is still a really underrated player for the West Coast Eagles.
Sheed as well. I like different coaching. So I like that he's not trying to be Richmond.
Yeah, I do too.
Who would I rather? Well, I'd rather Richmond style, particularly with what we saw. But if they can do that effectively, it is frustrating for the opposition not to have the footy in their hands.
You got Oscar Allen, you got
Darling. Kennedy.
I'm going to go wider. You got Oscar Allen, you got Norton, you got Georgiades who's playing. There'll be others just over
King.
King, that both Kings. Who are you taking? Who's the best young key forward going around right now?
If I could have the pick, I'd still go Max King. I would. And if you put Max King into West Coast side, and he's just a couple of years younger than Oscar Allen, I think his athletic ability, he just could be anything, Max King.
The only thing I have a query on with the King is their hands, but Oscar Allen has already displayed to me that he's got great hands and the ability to clunk it.
He's the third one, though. King's getting the best one every week.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Isn't that an interesting point, isn't it? This is the sliding door stuff that we talk about all the time. Oscar Allen gets drafted to a team where he has to play as the number one forward. How does he develop? Does he develop in the manner that he has behind Kennedy and Darling?
Can I take someone else ahead of all those, though?
I know who you're going to say.
I'm going to take Norton ahead of all those.
Mm. Handy type, isn't he? A very handy type.
The Giants, in the space of 2 weeks, have they gone from being a dour, boring side to potentially one of the more exciting teams in the competition by playing their kids?
By default.
Almost by default.
The ball goes out. Davis goes out. There was others that are a bit older that get some youth in there. Massive couple of weeks for Leon Cameron. Yeah, massive.
And I give Nick Riewoldt credit. 2 weeks ago when we were talking about them on the couch, you know, there was doom and gloom and they'd lost all their injuries and they were playing poorly. And he said this might be the best thing that ever happened to them because they got all this talent sitting there and hadn't used it. Now they had no choice. And it has. It's played off beautifully.
And super talent. Like we talked about Carlton. Carlton would... They would love to have the young talent that Leon Cameron and the Giants have got at their disposal. Ash, Taylor, Buckley, Green, Cumming, Bobby Hill, O'Halloran, Stone. There's a host of kids, and they can all play. Like, they can actually all play this game, and some of them are only in their first or second years of AFL football.
We can get back there. We've only got Kano for a couple more minutes. I want to get your thoughts quickly on Essendon and Brisbane. Do you just put a line through it given the conditions, or is this what we're going to see from Essendon? Big big dips up and troughs.
Up and down, yeah, that's what we will see, particularly away from home, those conditions. Brisbane, good to see them back on track. Love Joey Danaher's game as well. A bit more freedom playing with that and high disposals, but Essendon's just going to be one of those years.
And what about St Kilda? So you want to talk about draws. I look at their draw, and it's hard now. It gets harder, and guess what? It finishes even harder.
So we spoke a little bit about David Teague. Brett Radden's probably gone the other way, but there's almost only a couple of times you can pull that lever. He's gone embarrassing. He's gone, we're at danger of falling off the face of the earth, and we're at round five.
But I'm not dropping Brad Hill.
And I'm not dropping Brad Hill. I wonder if that will change after he reviews the tape over the weekend. But
do you find that extraordinary that he would say that so categorically?
Do I find it?
Yeah, I know it's showing faith in a player, but what does it do to the rest of the group when somebody gets that sort of free card like he's getting at the moment, or get the free go at it like he's getting?
I was surprised that he said. I mean, it's tough after a game when you haven't watched it, but we'll wait and see. He just needs to work harder.
He's a back your player in coach. 40 seconds. Geelong, North Melbourne, learn anything?
No.
Didn't learn anything? North Melbourne going better.
Yeah, but that's what you want to see from them, competitive and staying in games for longer. They did that.
Adelaide, Freo. That's a bad loss for the Crows.
Bad loss for the Crows. Freo, terrific. What about David Mundy's form? I mean, he's going to be the story. 35 years of age and what he's doing.
He's going to be one of the big stories this week.
Fife and Mundy got him over the line.
I had down here, is he the best kick in the competition?
He's in the top three going inside 50, yes. He was extraordinary.
Been a joy.
Good on you guys.
Been a joy. It's a torrid half an hour. We get through as much as we can.
I'm sweating.
We'll do it again next Monday. Thanks, Kano.